From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And K-State's Dan O'Brien will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Along the way today, we'll hear an update from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Those are the five top corn producing states of the nation, and we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, comes to you from willag.org and the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby December wheat at $6.58 and a quarter, up a dime for the day. The March at $6.92, up 8 3/4. And July wheat at $7.12, 7 3/4 higher. December corn futures, $6.52 and a quarter, 4 1/4 higher. The March at $6.65 and 3/4, up 4 1/2 cents. May futures, $6.73 and a quarter, 4 1/2 higher. July corn, $6.78, up 5 1/4. Next year's December contract at $6.25, up 10 3/4 of a cent. November bean futures, $12.63, up 3 1/4. January at $12.75, 3 3/4 higher. March soybeans at $12.82 and a half, up 4 1/2 in the May. $12.87 and 3/4, a nickel higher. July soybeans $12.95 and a quarter, up 5 cents for the day. Next year's November, $12.61 and a half, 10 1/4 higher. October bean meal on the day, $3.26.60, up 40 cents. October soybean oil at $52.57, 35 cents higher on the afternoon. October live cattle futures at $120.60 per 100 pounds, up 87.5 cents. December futures at $120.65, 92.5 cents. And September feeder cattle down 30 cents today at $132.60. The October contract at $139.52.5 per 100 pounds finished $1.70 higher. October lean hogs today, $88.62 and a half, up 12 1/2 cents. December futures at $83.47 and a half, up 47 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $84.62 a barrel, up $4.38. Ethanol at $2.57 and 7 cents, that's 2 8 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.82 and a half, up 4 3/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel, 8 9/10 of a cent higher at $2.88. Gold futures finished at $1,650.60 an ounce, up $58.10. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 300 points higher now at 11,344. The U.S. dollar at 77.5 is down 0.8. The CRB index at 311.44, 8.2 higher on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area from the National Weather Service says the scattered showers will be in the area this afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high of 61 degrees, west winds at about 9 to 13, the August as high as 20, and the chance of precip in the area set at 40% for the afternoon. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy. A low this evening of 50 degrees. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 69. West-northwest winds at 5 to 9. And tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, a low 52 degrees. Thursday, sunny skies, a high of 76. West-northwest winds at 6 to 15. Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 50. Friday, sunny and breezy, a high of 63. Friday night, with those football games, partly cloudy, a low of 42. And Saturday for football, sunny, a high of 62 degrees in Illini territory. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 41. Sunday, sunny, and a high of 65. Sunday night, mostly clear, and a low of 44 degrees. And when we start the next week on sunny, on next work week, that is, on Monday, we'll have sunny skies and a high of 69 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, as he is each and every Tuesday afternoon, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a little bit of a rally today in the marketplace, but they settled off of their highs. What did you find during the day?
Well, you know, the most excitement of the day was in the first 5 minutes of trade, Todd. And then as we settled back and some of the enthusiasm come out of the grains, while we traded down and unfortunately, the last hour of the day, we made new lows in the day. We did come back and close higher. The outside market's very influential to the upside bias that way. You know, we got down to where the dollar was down over 100 basis points, crude oil up over $4, and the Dow up over 250. And basically, we saw gold, which is up about $54 now, that was up $60 to $70 at times. So all of the outside markets were very positive, along with the news out of Europe, with the idea that the Greece debt problem is being brought under control.
Will that put enough under the marketplace to give it a bit of a raise in the coming week under pressure from harvest or not?
Well, you know, the farmers have not been selling cash corn or cash beans. All they've been doing is delivering contracts they previously made, pretty much. And we're seeing a lot of different elevators and commercials tightening the basis a little bit, offering free DP or discounts on drying along the way, and some pretty good bases for quick shipment. But over here, of course, we're sort of slow just because of the past rain we've had and no bean harvest going on, a little bit of corn harvest. But the eyes are on Friday and seeing what the beginning stocks for this coming year be or the ending stocks for last year, and quite a wide range of guesstimates here. So, you know, the highest guesstimate is $1.05 billion. Corn, and then the lowest estimate is down at $835 million. So, you know, quite a range there, the average guess being 964 million carryout.
You know, the grain stocks, the final one for the current fiscal year, out on Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. If you're signed up for our newsletter at willag.org, we will send that to you at least a newsletter with the possibilities in it the night before, so you can keep hitting that link and it will update. And if you give us your cell phone number on that morning, we'll send you those numbers as well. What do you think they will be?
Well, you know, we're pretty hard-pressed to be any better than all the analysts and averaging like that, but I think it's going to be above the USDA's last estimate, which is you know, at 940, and we got the 964 as the average guess here. I'm going to say 975.
All right, and for soybeans?
Soybeans, the average guesstimate's 225. The highest trade estimate was 240, and the lowest was 202. So we're going to hang right in there with that and probably be in the 228 bracket.
And I listened to your state statistician, and you'll hear just a bit on this program. I heard him earlier this morning talking about conditions and progress in the great state of Indiana. It's lagging well behind. Are farmers worried, or are they just looking at a crop that's not that great and they'll get it put away one way or the other?
Oh, you know, we're going to get it harvested, Todd. There's no doubt about that. The beans, of course, the lingering moisture that we finally got here over the last week has raised the moisture. So it's probably going to be a couple days before we're combining beans over here again. But I think the corn will start in and they'll start going along. I think we've got some certain counties and certain areas that are in very poor or disappointing yields. And then I think the others are hanging in there basically around the 170 to 180 mark.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it for today, Todd.
Thank you so much. That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We will hear from the state statisticians in just a bit. A couple of things of note, because I've heard it already, is you want to pay attention to what's happening in Indiana and in Iowa. Neither one of them sound particularly like harvest is off to a very good start there. I know some of you wonder about my brothers from time to time, too. I've got four older brothers that farm, and how they're doing there in the middle of the state of Illinois. That's in Logan County, near Lincoln. Elkhart is the hometown. That's between Springfield and Bloomington on Interstate 55. I talked to Tim just before coming on the air. They had all of their corn planted, I think he told me, by the 8th day of May, and this will be the earliest that they have ever finished. I think they have about 2 hours' worth of work in the corn to go. So there's one that'll be wrapped up, or essentially is wrapped up at this point for corn harvest. On the other hand, he said they have not harvested one bean as of yet. So there's an update of what's been happening in the world of agriculture and some of the harvest around the state. One other note before we move on, I do want to say thank you so much for listening. It makes a difference to Dave Dickey and I. We do appreciate that. I don't say it often, but it really does make a difference to us. And if there's anything that you want us to do for you, please do let us know. You can always just Google my name. I'm the first one that comes up, and you'll find my phone number and my email. The email is simple. It's tgleason@illinois.edu. The phone number is 217-333-9697.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You can find us online at willag.org, on your smartphone at m.willag.org, or at this number, 217-333-3434. Now up next, USDA has released its weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday that 15% of the nation's corn crop had been harvested. Notably, Kansas and Missouri are well ahead of schedule, and as you'll hear in a moment, farmers in Indiana are way behind. So are corn producers in Ohio and Pennsylvania. 58% of the soybean crop around the nation has dropped its leaves. 5% has been harvested now. Last year, that figure was 15% at this time. On average, it is 11%. Notably there, only one state of the 18 reporting showed soybean harvest even close to the average, and it was way out in front. Farmers in Louisiana have harvested 67% of their soybean crop. That number is usually 55% at this point. Everybody else, as you'll hear, is behind the curve.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 25, 2011. Although harvest is currently underway for both corn and soybeans, progress has been slow, and with temperatures for the week as a whole averaging 5.1 degrees below normal, the cool and cloudy weather has delayed dry down. Flood gauges along the Missouri River are finally dropping below flood stage, and some farmers that had land flooded are seeding winter wheat or similar crops for winter cover and soil improvement. There were 6.2 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the past week, with only light showers across the northern third of the state. This was the seventh week of the past eight to bring less than normal rainfall. Statewide precipitation totals were just 5/100ths of an inch during the week, compared with the normal of 3/4 of an inch. Meanwhile, topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 50 and 52% adequate to surplus, respectively. 80% of the corn crop is now mature, 6 days ahead of normal, and 5% of the corn has been harvested for grain or seed, behind 2010's 9%, but equal to the five-year average. The moisture content of corn being harvested is running at 23%, while the corn left to harvest throughout the state is averaging 27%. Reports of moderate to heavy lodging declined from 18% last week to 14% this week as many farmers concentrated on harvesting damaged corn first. Ear droppage remains a larger problem than last year at this time, with 7% of the crop experiencing moderate to heavy ear droppage. 94% of the soybean crop has turned color, equal to both last year and the five-year average, and over half of Iowa's soybean fields are dropping leaves, but development still lags 6 days behind last year and normal. Just 3% of the soybean crop has been harvested, behind last year's 7% and the 8% normal pace. Soybean lodging and shattering levels are nearly identical to last year at this time. The condition of the corn and soybean crops is now rated at 56 and 63%, good to excellent, respectively. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 25th. For the second week running, dry conditions existed across the northern half of the state, while above normal precipitation fell in the southern half. Overall, the state averaged 83/100ths of an inch, which was considered normal for this period. However, the Southeast Crop Reporting District received 2.18 inches, which was an inch and a quarter above normal. Temperatures were reported below normal, averaging a statewide 59.5 degrees. The average temperature normally for this period is 61.8 degrees. Statewide corn in the mature stage advanced to 80% compared to 96% last year and 68% for the five-year average. 22% of the corn crop was reported harvested, compared with 54% last year and 25% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn harvest activity was the southwestern district, where 51% had been harvested. Overall, the corn crop was rated in 40% good or excellent condition, down 1 percentage point from the previous week. Soybeans in the turning yellow category were reported at 87%, compared to 93% a year ago and 85% for the five-year average. 61% of the crop was shedding leaves, compared to 78% a year ago and 62% for the five-year average. 4% of the crop was reported harvested, compared with 20% 1 year ago and 12% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 46% good or excellent condition, down 1 percentage point from last week. Soft red winter wheat seeding was getting underway at 7% complete, which was the same as a year ago. The five-year average for this state is 5%. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln. Dry weather allowed for harvesting to pick up momentum, but progress was limited due to high grain moisture levels. Frost was recorded in portions of Nebraska, however, a statewide hard freeze has yet to occur. Corn conditions rated 76% good to excellent, near 75 average. Corn harvest was 6% completed, equal to average. Harvest of corn silage, high moisture corn, and seed corn were winding down. Soybean conditions rated 79% good to excellent, above 74 average. Soybeans dropping leaves was at 47% behind 67 average. Harvest of soybeans was just underway. About two-thirds of the winter wheat crop has been seeded and about one-quarter of the crop has emerged. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwick, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 25, 2011. Harvest is underway for corn and soybeans. As of September 25th, 2% of the corn was harvested compared to 2% last year and 3% for the five-year average. Soybeans were 3% harvested compared to 6% last year and 9% for the average. Dry conditions persisted despite scattered rain showers that fell early in the week. Amounts varied from near zero in the southwestern areas to almost an inch in the northwestern areas. Fall-like weather prevailed as below-average temperatures were observed at most reporting stations. Temperatures were 3.6 degrees below normal statewide. 96% of the corn was in the dense stage compared to 97% for the average, while 52% of the corn was mature compared to 58% for the average. 2% was harvested compared to 3% for the average. Corn conditions ratings were nearly equal to last week. 91% of the soybeans were turning yellow compared to 97% for the average, and 74% of the soybeans were dropping leaves compared to 84% for the average. 36% of the state's soybeans were mature compared to 52% for the average. 3% were harvested compared to 9% for the average. Soybean conditions ratings were nearly equal to last week. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 25, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending September 25th. Harvest activity was slowed by cool and rainy weather for the week. The wet field conditions slowed the corn harvest to about 17 days behind last year and 9 days behind the average corn harvest pace. The harvest of the soybean crop is about 18 days behind last year and 10 days behind the average pace. The rainfall has restored soil moisture levels, benefiting the winter wheat crop. Precipitation range from 0.23 to 4.13 inches. 92% of the corn crop in Indiana is in the dense stage, compared to 100% for last year and 94% for the five-year average. 50% of the corn crop is mature, compared to 93% for last year and 62% for the five-year average. 7% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared to 43% for last year and 16% for the five-year average. The moisture content of corn harvested has been averaging about 24%. Corn condition down slightly from last week was rated at 33% good to excellent, compared to 57% last year at this time. 61% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 88% for last year and 72% for the five-year average. 3% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 38% for last year and 14% for the five-year average. Moisture content for harvested soybeans is averaging about 14.5%. Soybean condition for the week was rated at 40% good to excellent, compared to 53% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. Our thanks to the state statisticians across the five primary corn-producing states in the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check out the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien from K-State in Kansas is with us to take up those energy markets this afternoon. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing well, Todd.
Well, let's start not with the energy markets, but with corn harvest in the state of Kansas. I'm pretty sure that you've got a decent pulse on that one. When I looked at the numbers from USDA yesterday afternoon, we made note that Kansas farmers are moving pretty quickly.
Well, it's a tale of good news and bad news. Part of the reason that we're moving so quickly in some of our areas is that we've had pretty rough crops in the southwest and south central parts of the state. So you can move pretty quickly when you have drought damaged crops. But in the other areas where we had pretty good moisture, some of the upper third of the state, some parts of the eastern Kansas, we have some pretty decent yields, and people are thankful, I guess, is the best thing to say about it.
And so when you say rough crop, how bad?
Well, we under irrigation in parts of southwest Kansas, we couldn't keep up, and that's a rough year in our part of the world where for irrigated circles of corn, 125, 130 acres, where we normally get 190 to 200 bushels per acre, and some of those cases they're harvesting 50, 60, 70 bushels per acre.
And on the dry land?
On the dry land in those roughest of areas, they're lucky to get much yield at all, 20, 30, 40 bushels. It's really, in some of those rough areas, it's a return back to the drought conditions that we had from 2000 through 2006, and we had four of the worst 6 years. Four out of the 6 years were awfully rough, so pretty rough.
And then on the good parts of the state, and where were they? And again, how good is good?
On dry land for us,
yes.
Probably 100 to 110 bushels for non-irrigated corn. Of irrigated corn, we're blessed in that manner, and we can get 200 plus pretty readily if we have enough water.
All right. We're going to let you go for just a moment. We'll come back with you and talk some more about the agricultural energy markets. Is that okay with you?
Sounds great.
I'll talk to you in just 2 minutes. That's Dan O'Brien. He's with K-State University in Kansas, and we'll be back here on the Closing Market Report for some of you in just 2 minutes, and we'll talk about the agricultural energy markets, ethanol in particular. For the rest of you, we'll say so long for now.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Chocolate Milk Day. The creation of chocolate milk is often credited to Sir Hans Sloane, a British physician. He learned of chocolate while practicing medicine in Jamaica in 1689, where the locals drank cocoa mixed with water. Sloane found the mixture disgusting, and he devised a way to mix cocoa with milk to make it more pleasant. On this day in agricultural history in 1852, Sir William Wilcox was born. A British civil engineer, he devised a means of storing Nile River water to allow the growth of an extra crop of cotton. by using natural geographical features to divert the Nile's annual floodwaters for storage, which then was fed back into the river in the dry season. In 1892, the Diamond Match Company patented book matches. 3 years later, production exceeded 150,000 matchbooks a day. In 1910, Fritz Haber was issued a U.S. patent for the production of ammonia. The process was a milestone in industrial chemistry because it made production of nitrogen fertilizer less dependent on natural deposits, especially sodium nitrate. And in 1920, Henry Stommel was born, an American oceanographer and meteorologist. He was an expert on physical oceanography, especially in the interpretation of data associated with large-scale ocean dynamics. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Kansas State University Extension is Dan O'Brien, an ag economist. Dan, thanks for staying with us. You sent me a nice PowerPoint, a production on agricultural energies, and you start out with, I suppose, what you'd call the profit margin or net profit margin for the Iowa State University model ethanol plant. And those numbers are pretty interesting because it looks like they made a lot of money in 05, 06, maybe parts of 07. And then it's been not as profitable, but works out okay. And we're doing all right at the moment, I guess.
Maybe dicey is the word. At different times when we had such a contraction in that industry from December of 2008 through about May, June 2009, we didn't lose that much money on a per-gallon basis. But, again, it was pretty high. Yeah, a number of those plants had just been built. They were pretty highly leveraged, and it caused a lot of damage. Since then, we've had, I wouldn't say it's a cyclical pattern, but we've sure had kind of a periods of 2 or 3 months of down below at or losing money, and then followed by periods of 5-6 months of making pretty good funds. And I think it's fair to say, with all the volatility in the markets this year, both in terms of gasoline prices on the positive revenue side and corn prices on the cost side, there's been a lot of concern as to what could happen if we see the worst scenario for that industry, i.e. corn prices moving higher and enough weakness in the economy that gasoline prices fall off. Mm. That has not happened yet, thankfully, for the ethanol industry.
And I think our ethanol plants have been talking about that every time, at least earlier in the year. They were very scared that was going to be the case, it seemed. And we are on pretty slim margins, relatively speaking, for them at the moment, by comparison to other times, I suppose.
Sure.
On the bottom end of the trough, do you think we'll have a bounce for them or not?
Well, I think if we know what the U.S. economy is going to do and understand how that will affect gasoline demand off in 3 or 4 months, then we'll have a pretty good idea of how the ethanol industry is doing.
We have just a couple of minutes left. Let's skip forward in your PowerPoint to the ethanol industry, the capacity and the production. And I'm interested in E15 in particular.
Mm-hmm. If E15 were to be fully implemented, by the end of the year 2015, we'd see capacity needing to move up to 21 billion gallons per year. However, there'd have to be a number of direct policy moves to make all that happen. Right now, it's interesting if you see how the actual plant capacity has worked alongside the annual production. During 2006, 7, 8, we couldn't produce enough ethanol to meet demand, but now once we got into 2009, 10, and parts and probably likely 11, we're just about level or below the production amount with the actual capacity. What's really helped out the ethanol industry is the ability to export ethanol to places like Brazil in particular. Again, the sugar market has kind of dictated that Brazilian plants not produce ethanol, but send sugar cane and other products from sugar cane off in other directions in the overall economy. So we've been able to export a good amount of ethanol, and that's really been a helpful and positive thing for the U.S. ethanol industry.
About 30 seconds. Any final summary?
I think it's a strong industry. Surely had a good impact on rural agriculture in the U.S., but an industry that operates on the margin. We're always looking at corn versus the ethanol prices.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University. He helps us wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.